Here is a story, but it's more than just a story. It's the recounting of my testimony. I want a share of being redeemed, rescued, and restored. I want a share of Jesus and all of his glory. Let's begin. Will you ever be enough? It began with a voice I entertained. Will you ever be enough? A subtle question that remained. Will you ever be enough? It made my eyes glance to the side. A small doubt I could not deny. Will I ever be enough? Just like Eve living in Eden, knowing God from the beginning, a new voice came with a question. Has God indeed said? Was the suggestion? This voice sounded interesting. Wait a minute, it was intriguing. But Eve didn't realize the deception. This same voice got me tempted. I want to be enough. I want to be accepted. But neither did I catch the deception. I could be enough. Staring at a mirror, I answered that question. Will you ever be enough? With all determination, I said to my reflection, I could be enough. I could be enough for people. I could be enough for God. I could be enough. So I worked and I pleased. I would be anything that you need. Change my personality, hustle and grind, prove to that voice inside of my mind, but I failed. Just like Eve, took what was pleasant, gave to Adam an unopened present, to be better, gain knowledge and see. Once unwrapped, they understood, tasted and thought that they were good, but they failed. I wasn't enough. I looked at all I accomplished. I thought I could be enough. As a failure, I relinquished. I wasn't enough. My eyes were opened. My heart, it was broken. I wasn't enough. The truth was exposed. I was depressed and unclothed. Eve used fig leaves to cover her nakedness. Probably uncomfortable, but definitely useless. She hid from God. My sin? Too deep. I had to be punished. So I saw my body as the thing to demolish. I covered my body in self-harm. I wanted my fig leaves to hurt, to atone for my life that was dirt. I hid from God. I've had enough. Living a life of legalism, I realized I wasn't enough. Drowning in dark pessimism, I said, I've had enough. My life is a mistake. My life has no purpose. I've had enough. So I tried to end my life, to silence all this strife. Hopelessness was a prison with no escape. Death was the only answer for my ache. But was it the answer? Adam and Eve now had a death sentence. Their sin would require an ultimate expense. The course of history forever altered. Shame, nakedness, pain, a last breath. Was their only end a march to infernal death? No, that wasn't the answer. Jesus is enough. Death was constantly asking, "Have you had enough?" The Holy Spirit persisted interjecting, Jesus is enough. Don't give an ear to the taunting of death. You're not enough, but death is not the end, for Jesus is enough. You cannot earn worthiness. You've fallen short, but nonetheless, God's love sent forth his only son, Jesus, a perfect atonement, being sinless. He paid the price. Adam and Eve received their consequences, but God had a plan for their expenses. He spoke to Satan and said, Jesus is coming. He will die, he will rise, and he will end you. A now fulfilled promise you cannot undo. He paid the price. Grace is enough. To clothe Adam and Eve, God gave a sacrifice. He slaughtered an innocent animal. To redeem us forever, Jesus died in our place. He was innocent and infallible. Through his death, my sin is paid. Through his rising, a living hope, for grace is enough. So if like me, you are entertaining these lies, and inside you are rotting underneath your disguise? If, like me, you think you're biting on the fruit of freedom, but really, you're just gnawing on the bars of a prison. Realize we are not enough. We are sinners, we were sentenced, and the only pardon is through the Savior, Jesus. Jesus loves us, took the sentence, and forgives us with freedom forevermore. Surrender your life and start following the Lord. Jesus Christ died to save you. Oh, haven't you heard? Glory to God. Thank you for listening to my testimony, for letting me share and give God the glory. Glory to God.
I told you. Well, this is Allie. She's been leading worship. You know, the heart of worship comes from a heart that has experienced the grace of God. And we've known Allie for many, many years, and many of these things that she revealed in this video and in her testimony, she walked through in silence. She did not share the struggles until God gave her freedom. And so I wanted her to share with us the process that she kind of went through. And she told us that she received the Lord at age 4, but it wasn't until about age 15 that she understood what salvation really meant. And I know many of us in this room, we've had young children that received the Lord at 4, but then they have a battle in their teenage years where they have to decide whether what they thought they did it for was the right thing. So can you recount to us how you got to that step so that some of these moms and grandmas and aunts can help us understand that process?
So when I was 4 years old, I heard the gospel message, and it is powerful, even at 4, and I wanted to follow the Lord forever, and so that's when I made that decision. But growing up, I was still in the church, and I heard Sunday morning teachings, and I heard through my own studying of the Word of God, and that was really where I started to actually understand who Jesus is, and also my sin started becoming different and very
obvious. You didn't
obvious.
Steal lollipops anymore.
Yeah, no, I did more than that. So I started to understand the weight of my sin and the hopelessness that it brought, but the salvation through Jesus. And so it really was through reading the Word of God that I began to understand that.
And coming to Sunday school, right?
Yes, coming to Sunday school.
And good mommies and daddies, right?
Yes.
Right, right. And aunties. I want to sit back. Is this going to... Okay. Oh, I was afraid I was going to fall over. That would have been fun, wouldn't it? So your first statement you had up here, you said, will I be enough? So despite experiencing your salvation, you began this thought process of, will I be enough? Can you explain how that was triggered in your life?
It was mostly through comparison of I would compare myself to the Lord. I would compare myself to anyone I could see. And so it all started with seeing that I wasn't enough compared to the Lord, obviously. But then any time I would see someone and they were really just doing well, I felt so less than. And that's really where
now,
it came.
Was a straight-A student. I mean, she was... high achiever.
Yes,
so,
I was.
So despite high achieving, you still did not feel that you were enough. So your second statement was, I could be enough. How did you attempt to become good enough? Because, listen, you were a high achiever.
Yes.
So?
Yes, I was. I just tried to do more. My life kind of became a kind of like trying to get as many trophies, as many rewards that I could show outwardly. It wasn't really what was hidden. It was more of things like, how could I not only get an A in school, but how could I be the top of my class? Or how could I, you know, do all these other things with being pretty or all different things like that. And so
now this, we know her parents, and her parents were very, very loving. This is just something teenagers go through, isn't it, ladies? Especially teenage girls. This is a normal process. You tried your best, and your conclusion was, I wasn't enough. So even when you did all these things, achieving, getting awards, accolades, because she did, you really realize, despite that, you said, I wasn't enough, and it took you into a deep depression. Can you describe what you went through on that? How did that trigger from one to the next?
Yes, so instead of coming to the point where I'm not enough, let me turn to the Lord, it was, you know, in life, you do wrong, so you get a consequence. And so for me, I felt like, okay, I need a consequence for what I had done wrong. Or even things I wasn't doing wrong. It wasn't a sin. It was just a constant comparison. And so I would very much punish myself. Like I talked about in the video, I had self-harm. And so I would do those things. But once I would do it, I wouldn't feel better because I felt like I needed a good period of time to be able to get away from what I had done wrong and feel good enough, have, you know, oh, I haven't done anything bad in 6 months, you know?
So this was a cycle.
It was a cycle, definitely.
For how many years did you go through this cycle?
Many years, from 15 years old all the way through about 4 years ago. So
it's a long time.
A very long time.
A very long time. So you went, and your conclusion, I wasn't enough. It took you from harming yourself into, you called it a deep depression. So you went from self-harm and self-punishment, because that was something you could do. And then I see it as, were you just giving up?
Yes, I came to the point where I gave up, and I felt like there's nothing I can do. There's nothing further for me to do, and I started becoming very angry with the Lord. At this point, I felt like, why, if I can't glorify you, if I can't be enough for people, why did you even bother creating me? Why did you make me? There's no point. It's really just, I felt like a stumbling block in life. And so, I really came, when you get to that point, you're at the end. And that's where it was for me.
I'm trying not to cry. Because a lot of us have felt that. We might not have ever been brave enough to say it. But we've all thought, you know what? My husband might be better off with a different wife. I've disappointed him too many times. I've said that. Yeah. I've thought that. And we do. It's because we compare. And women compare. And we want to be all that they deserve. Our husbands or God. And it comes from a really, it says you were sincere. I hear sincerity, don't you? Very sincere. So, which led you to the fourth part. I've had enough. After attempting to be enough, how did your relationship with God now change? You said you were angry. Did that keep on? I know at this point you probably now are married.
It's difficult to say.
The point is she was involved. And there's a lot of people that are involved in your church. The lady sitting next to you. There's a lot of hurting women, ladies. And I have to admit, I did not know Allie was going through all this personally, which I feel very ashamed now. But the Lord took you through this process for such a glorious time, for such a glorious reason. So you said, at what point did you come to realize, so you in this part four, part five was, I came to a point and I realized Jesus is enough. Explain that to us.
So it wasn't a moment. I wish, but it wasn't one day I woke up, I realized everything, and then I realized Jesus is enough. And but really, like you're saying, like, and I did keep these things very hidden. There was a point, obviously, where I wanted to end my life, but in short, the Lord helped me to not do that. But I kind of came at it in a place of, Lord, I'm surrendering this to you, but I really still don't believe. But I won't do anything to my life. So I walked that for many years, and it became a cycle of, okay, I'm surrendering to the Lord. I trust him. I'm doing fine. I would mess up, and I'm depressed. And it would just go on and on for years. So it was a lot of seeking. But when I really finally came to the point of actually believing in Jesus is enough was about 4 years ago. I was in ministry, a pastor's wife. I was doing all those things, but I came to another point. And also during this time, I was not very consistently reading my word, which is very important to say. And so I was in this place in my life, and I got to the end, but I wasn't going to end my life, but I couldn't do it anymore. I felt like, Lord, we have to figure this out. This is not okay. I can't live like this.
This has been 10, 15 years at this point.
Yes. So I kind of had a wrestling with the Lord. I said, we're going to figure it out, and I'm not going to come out until we have. And so we got very serious. I took 2 weeks off of life. And I stayed in my home, and I worshiped, I prayed, and I read the word, and I allowed God to speak to me. I spoke to him. I spoke my angry prayers.
You had your angry prayers. I think that's been talked about, that God wants to hear our hearts and our frustrations. David in the Psalms, I always tell people, read the Psalms. He was in anguish. God gives you permission to share with him how you're feeling. And I love the Psalms because at the end of the Psalms, they always go, God is great, God is good. You know, he comes to that conclusion. So how did you come to the conclusion where you found grace was enough? You're in the Word now.
Yes, so I'm in the Word, read it every single day, and I basically felt like I had some spiritual attacks keeping me from reading the book of Galatians. And so I opened up, I said, I will read it, and God, I'll let you speak to me. And reading the book of Galatians, all of it basically talks about, you've received grace. What happened? What happened? And the people of Galatia, they started having these legalistic views, which was exactly my problem, and talks about coming back and the freedom in Christ and grace. I had to understand grace. And so reading through all of those things, God completely opened my eyes. He allowed me to accept his love and grace for me through that time.
I had to write down my questions so I would stay on focus. So what specifically, what verse, because I know there was a verse in the book of Galatians, and I want you to share it with the ladies right now. What was the verse?
Yes, it was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, so you told us after reading the book of Galatians and this verse in particular, what was the breaking point? This is the exciting part. Tell us the breaking point.
Okay.
A little girl, come on, tell me. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just making sure. Okay. Don't worry. Yes. So in this verse was so pivotal, and the Holy Spirit specifically asked me a question. Specifically asked me, if you could picture the best love that you would want in this world, what would it be? Just, you know, and I wrote down, I was like, well, the best love I can picture is with my husband, Andrew. And I was like, you know, being married to him, I feel safe. I feel like, obviously, I don't want to do anything wrong towards my husband, but I know that if I mess up, if I hurt him, he's not going to just divorce me. I feel this secureness to where I know that he will forgive me, that we will be okay, and he will love me. And I feel like I have a very free relationship with him in that. And the Holy Spirit, which is very obvious, but the Holy Spirit obviously told me, well, that's what Jesus offers you, but so much better than what you have with Andrew. And that was the point where everything clicked for me. As even though I've heard this since I'm 4 years old, this is where my eyes were completely opened to Jesus's love for me. And I have been standing on that since.
So the power of love in accepting his love. What advice would you give others who struggle with depression and trying to feel his love? What would you say if Sally Sue came up and said, Allie, help me? What would you say?
I would say, number one, read God's word and read it every single day. Ever since that point, I have not departed from reading God's word every single day. And the word of God is so powerful. I know we know that, but do we know that? And there are days I don't want to pick up my word, but I know it's not legalism. It's for my protection that I read his word, because I never want to go back to those things. And I have seen time and time again, God's word pierce through all of those things, all those lies, all of the things that I've allowed myself to sit in. And so honestly, that is one of the biggest things I will say will help.
Didn't really expect that answer, did you? The word of God penetrates. It's his message to you, written specifically to you about how much he loves you. Allie, we so much appreciate you being vulnerable among us. I know how hard that was for you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. And then, you know, it's wonderful the fact that, and we did this on purpose, we're going to now do the fruit of love. And I really want us to really see how much you're loved by God. She wrote in one of her signs in her testimony, she says, there's a confidence in our relationship and a bond that now cannot be broken. And, you know, Satan wants to break up that fallow ground. He wants to tell us the lies that we're not enough and you'll never be enough. And that's not a lie. That's the truth. But God is enough. Grace is enough. Jesus is enough. And you know what? His love and acceptance for us is enough. It transcends any personal relationship we have with other. And she has a wonderful husband. And if God was saying it's better than Andrew, woo! And like I said, she had a great family. And I know, as I'm sure her mother did what your mothers do. But there's some things only God can fix in a woman's heart. And if you have a daughter that's going through this, get her in the word. Keep her in the word. Don't let her stay isolated. And I'm sure that's your mama. She's got a great mama. So we're going to pray. And then Brianne's going to come up and she is going to lead us in worship. Because after this, I didn't want Allie to have to stand up here and lead worship.